Good morning and welcome to Sports Talk. You've made it to Friday. It's Sports Talk with John and Vince. I'm John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara. It's 6:02. Vince, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, John. How is Central Time in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, or whereabouts close to that?
Dark.
All right.
Yeah, no, we're all good. Right now, temperature here is 70 degrees, supposed to get up to the mid-90s with a chance of thunderstorms today. That's where the Tennessee team is. Isolated thunderstorms this afternoon. Tennessee's supposed to practice at the ballpark around 2 o'clock Central, so maybe around 2:30. But anyhow, they'll get a look at where the venue is for the Super Regional that gets underway tomorrow with a 3 o'clock Eastern time first pitch, which means we'll join you with the leadoff man at 2:45 on the Vol Network. But it's travel day yesterday, went smoothly. That's all you hope for. And everybody settled into where they should be. And now it's all about focusing on winning two games and moving on, right?
Absolutely. And why not? Tennessee has the fifth best odds, according to Vegas, to advance. They certainly have a team with preseason expectations, a lot of talent that coming off of a fantastic regional in Clemson. Now, you never know how round to round, matchup to matchup, venue to venue, those things travel, translate, how things might change up. But I think this team is playing like those preseason expectations. So, yeah, why not get it done and get back to Omaha for the first time in 2 years?
Yeah, and now, as we've talked about, the forecast has been ever-changing. For a while, it looked like the temperatures would be rising and the chances for rain would be decreasing. But now it's back to essentially where it was before. In terms of tomorrow, the forecast is afternoon thunderstorms, 65% is the chance of rain. Isolated thunderstorms on Sunday with a 30% chance of precipitation. And then Monday, the if necessary day, 45% chance of afternoon thunderstorms with the highs being anywhere from 93 to 92. So chances of rain now creeping back up in the direction you don't want to see, as you just hope that the games can come and go without interruption. It is a turf field, but we'll exactly see whether or not Mother Nature cooperates. So that's the lay of the land. But then again, this time of year, Vince, that's kind of the forecast just about anywhere you go in the South.
Yeah, for sure. It's fluid, as they say and we say, because we live in the South, so we know it changes minute to minute. So we'll keep tabs on it, and they'll adjust it and hopefully get it in without too much interruption. But
yeah, it looks to be a great day today in Knoxville and East Tennessee, high around 81, which for this time of the year, June 9th, my goodness, that's a pretty nice deal. No chance of rain, but mostly sunny today. So it's right now an outstanding start to your day. Temperature 52, a little bit on the chilly side as you make your way out, but it is going to warm up to the lower 80s. But anyhow, we have a lot to get to. We look forward to bringing you comments from Tennessee coach Tony Vitello, as well as Tennessee designated hitter, all-region team member Griffin Merritt, as they met the media yesterday. And Vince, we also look forward to hearing from our listeners.
For sure. Here's what we want from you guys this morning, and we'll read the feedback and interaction we get from you. We want to know how you think this Super Regional in Hattiesburg is going to go for Tennessee. Do you think Tennessee is going to sweep through, win the first two games, and be done with it? Do you think maybe there'll be a challenge and Tennessee gets the three games? Do you think it's a tough matchup and it'll be different than the Clemson Regional? How do you think this Super Regional will go for Tennessee? Tell us who wins and how many games. And then also give us one name. One. I know we'll get some that have like three or four or the whole pitching staff or whatever. But give us one name that you think will be the MVP of the Super Regional for Tennessee. There's a lot of different directions you can go, John, because look at last week, for example. I mean, how many guys could you point to, and we did, that had a big part in them winning that regional, winning all three games? You can go with a dominant starting pitching performance. You can go with maybe the top offensive performance. You can point to a key clutch hit, even if that person maybe didn't have the biggest stats and numbers. There's a lot of different ways you can go with trying to point out one person, because we know it's going to be much more than that. but we're just curious to see which direction fans go this morning. So all you have to do is hit us up at 865-656-9900 on our text line. Easy way to shoot that over to us, and then we will share your interaction with us. You can also tweet at us on the Sports Animal 991 Twitter account, Sports Animal 991 on Twitter. So hit us up and give us your feedback. How do you think the regional will go? One, how many games? And then who is the one MVP for the Super Regional?
So we jump right into the walkthrough. Also look forward to bringing you comments from Rob Lewis of AllQuest.com. So a busy morning today, without a doubt, as we're with you until 9 on Sports Talk.
Yes, John said Saturday, Sunday, Monday, the three games on the schedule for the Super Regionals for Tennessee against Southern Miss. The other Super Regionals look like this. The others that are Friday, Saturday, Sunday, this is the right side of the bracket beginning today. Super Regionals begin at noon with Duke against Virginia. That'll be game one. Next game one will be Indiana State at TCU. Then that'll be at 5 p.m. At 6 p.m., South Carolina at Florida. 8 p.m., Oral Roberts at Oregon. Those are the four Friday, Saturday, Sunday Super Regionals, basically the right side of the bracket. The left side of the bracket where Tennessee is at begins at noon on Saturday with Alabama at number one Wake Forest, followed by two games at 3 p.m., Tennessee at Southern Miss, 2:45 airtime on the Vol Network here on 99.1 The Sports Animal, and also at 3 p.m., Kentucky at LSU, and that is also the Super Regional that would match up winners in a first game in the College World Series. So you'll want to keep an eye on that one. And then at 6 p.m., the last Super Regional would get underway, Texas at Stanford. So that's the schedule for the Super Regionals. Tennessee and Southern Miss get going tomorrow at 3 p.m. John, just give us a little thumbnail what you know about the Golden Eagles, the opponent for Tennessee, and we'll continue to add as we go along in the morning.
Well, this is a team that fought its way through the loser's bracket, lost its first game at the Auburn Regional to Samford, and then battled back, eliminated Auburn. They knocked off one of the hotter teams, even though the Tigers, they won their first game at Hoover, and then they lost their next four, which was just so uncharacteristic for a team that stormed its way from a 5-10 start like Tennessee did to finishing 12-3 in the second half. But they were resilient. They trailed against Penn when the Quakers had the chance to win one game in advance to the Super Regionals. They trailed in the middle innings of each contest, and they pitch it well. They're pretty strong at the plate. I think, Vince, that if you are wanting to make a comparison to Charlotte, they would be better than the team that Tennessee beat twice last week. More wins. They've got 44. And so this is a squad that they've got three guys that have double-digit home runs, and I just think that this is one of those gritty ball clubs that you just come to expect from a program like Southern Miss. They won't be somebody who perhaps wow you in terms of their overall statistics, but they're just solid across the board. They're solid offensively, they're solid on the mound, and they're good defensively. So I just think that they're – you can point to a lot as to reasons for Southern Miss being in a position to do something they've done only once before, and that's make it to the College World Series.
Absolutely. John, they're not exactly like Notre Dame, but in terms of how they carry themselves, they remind me some of last year's Notre Dame team, and they have plenty of swagger. They have guys with, you know, going like the Vincenzo back in the day at the club with the extra buttons down on the shirt, just kind of showing some chest, just you know, being who you are and having some swag to you. So they are not going. They play SEC competition. They play Power Five competition. I don't think they're going to be intimidated by Tennessee. Will they be motivated to beat Tennessee? Sure. Who isn't these days? Even though this year's club is not like last year's club, but they have some swagger to them. They'll have some confidence. Obviously, playing at home will make them probably feel even more comfortable. The arm to look out for is Tanner Hall. He is their top pitcher, 12-3 used him a lot to get through after they went in that loser's bracket and in that Auburn regional. They used him a lot. In fact, I think it was Keith Law from MLB Writer that heavily criticized Scott Barry for using Tanner Hall. He came back after a whole lot of pitches in one performance in one outing and came back and used them again. So that's,
it was 128 pitches in the game against Samford, which they lost in extra innings. And he allowed one run in that ball game. And then they used him, I think, in the second game against Penn, and he pitched 30 pitches. So it was 158 pitches in, I think, 5 days.
Right. And so keep that in mind. You're probably going to see him in game one. I haven't seen any definite. Have you seen pitching probables yet, John, for both
have
sides?
Not. In his last six starts, he's gone no less than seven innings, and he's got two complete games on the season, and then and 118 strikeouts and 106 innings pitched. And the other guy to look out for is their closer, Justin Storm. He's got eight of their 18 saves, and he is 6-2 on the mound. He's a lefty. So you have a right-hander that leads the way in terms of to start games in Tanner Hall, and then Justin Storm is the guy they look to close it out, a lefty out of the pen.
Yeah, they have a number of guys on that staff with really good walk-to-strikeout ratio. So Tennessee is going to need to make contact at times. There can be some swing and miss, especially against off-speed left-hand pitchers, but we saw Tennessee be better at that in that Clemson regional. So Southern Miss team will bring some things to the table. So we'll talk more about them as the morning goes on. Couple of football notes, and we'll wrap up the walkthrough here for hour number one. Joe Milton will be one of the quarterbacks that will be participating in this year's Manning Passing Academy as the list of participants was released. Joe Milton, we've seen so many Tennessee quarterbacks in recent years be a part of it. Of course, Hendon Hooker, Joshua Dobbs, Jerry Garantano. We've seen a number of them participate from Tennessee. Now, there are also a couple of other opponents this year that will be their opposing quarterbacks on Tennessee's schedule. Devin Leary from Kentucky, who's a transfer from North Carolina State. Missouri quarterback Brady Cook. And Texas San Antonio quarterback Frank Harris. So it's a big list, John, but there's a lot of big names. I mean, Arch Manning is there. Drake May, who could be one of the top picks in next year's draft. Quinn Ewers from Texas will also be there. LSU has both of their quarterbacks in Jaden Daniels and Garrett Nussmeier. There's a lot of really good quarterbacks in the Manning Passing Academy this year.
Yeah, and it's, as you mentioned, that's the same way it is every year. It's fantastic. We got to see kind of a peek behind the curtain when we saw the Hendon Hooker special getting ready for the draft, as well as the others that were also down there and a part of it, like Anthony Richardson and Will Levis and Bryce Young. So I just think that it's a fantastic resource, and I really applaud the Manning family because it's as much for the incredible experience that the high school kids, the members of the camp, get to come and experience not only with the Manning family, but also with these college quarterbacks that can share their experiences. And then the opportunity for those college quarterbacks to serve as counselors and, you know, get counsel from Peyton, Eli, and Archie. I just think it is a wonderful win-win-win situation. So, but not surprised at all that Joe Milton's right there in the mix, and I think it will be a remarkable experience. That's Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. Again, a bit of a chilly start this morning in Knoxville and East Tennessee. 52 as you make your way out the door. It is 6:16, and certainly hope that your Friday is off to a great start if you're supposed to be up at this point in time. But we'll get a break. More coming your way. Sam Foreman's got more sports with his report next. It's Sports Talk on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
The Lady Vols softball coaching staff was named the 2023 ATEC NFCA Southeast Region Coaching Staff of the Year. It is the sixth different time Tennessee has been named a Region Coaching Staff of the Year, the first time winning the award since 2013. In the National Football League on Thursday, the Minnesota Vikings informed running back Dalvin Cook that they plan to release him. They were expected to try to trade Cook one more time yesterday, but now they plan to process his release later on today. The Denver Broncos have signed veteran defensive end Frank Clark to a one-year contract that could be worth as much as $7.5 million and will include $5.5 million in base salary that is guaranteed. The NBA Finals Game 4 is tonight at 8:30 on ABC as the Heat will try to even the series once again with the Nuggets, while Denver will look to take a 3-1 series lead back to Colorado. With your morning sports update for the Sports Animal, I'm Sam Foreman. Have a great day.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So I mean, that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Approaching 6:25 as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Sports Talk with John and Vince. I'm John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara. And Vince, we got to hear from a member of last week's all-region team from Clemson as a Tennessee designated hitter Griffin Merritt met the media.
That's right. Hit on a number of different topics coming off of the regional win, what the team has improved on, and his expectations looking ahead to Southern Miss. Let's hear from Tennessee graduate senior outfielder / DH Griffin Merritt.
Griffin, I think back after that Florida series that Sunday, you'd said that this would be a team nobody wanted to see in regionals. Just what was the mindset of the team at the time? Were they sharing that kind of mindset as well? And how did you guys kind of maintain that?
Yeah, I think it might be something that since I've been around it a little bit longer than some of the guys, I noticed at the end of the year, it's about depth and especially depth on the mound. And that's something that, you know, we're fortunate to have a lot of here. So when teams, you know, maybe this weekend or this past weekend are playing on Monday and they're stretched a little thin, you know, if we had to do that, we were fine. And I think that Clemson game, depth-wise as well, you know, we were ready to play 10 more innings if we had to. We would have been completely fine on the mound. And, you know, that was a really good team in Clemson. I don't know, you know, how much they had left. I think our whole team's kind of bought in to just doing whatever it takes that they can do to win, you know, individually, you know, finding your role and just trying to win.
Why is this team kind of figuring out its peak right now? And what would you say is left to come before you do actually reach that peak?
Yeah, I think this team was always a good team. I think this team had growing pains more than maybe the fans here were used to, especially last year. There was a lot of new faces and that takes some time. But, you know, those lessons and some of those tougher days have kind of built you up for this part of the season where, you know, we've been down in games. We've had a comeback in games. You know, we've had things that haven't gone our way this season. Deal with it and move on. And I think that's the best mindset you can have at this point in the year. You know, we've kind of seen the best of days and the worst of days. And that honestly prepares you better than if it was just smooth sailing the whole season. And then you face some adversity late and, you know, you might struggle to respond.
I don't know how much you've learned about Tanner Hall this week, but just what stands out about him and makes him so impressive?
Yeah, we started to look at Hall, and, you know, he's a really good arm, and he's had a bunch of success, and, you know, we respect him, and, you know, we're just going through approach stuff and, you know, things that can help us be successful when we face him. And, you know, in this league, we faced a lot of really good, you know, Friday night type arms, and, you know, sometimes you just have to, you know, weather the storm a little bit. You know, I don't, you know, I hope we put up 20 runs on him, but, you know, nobody has. So I'm not going to, you know, think that's exactly what we're going to do. You know, we're going to have to fight up there and compete with him and, you know, grind out at bats and, you know, do everything we can to put us in a position to win when the game ends.
What do you think is the biggest difference between this year's team and last year's team going into Supers?
Yeah, well, I wasn't here last year, so I don't have that like exact personal story with that, but you know, from what I've heard is just, you know, this team has faced a little more adversity than last year. You know, I hats off and respect to all those people that had that special season here last year, but I think that maybe this team might be better prepared because of some of the struggles it's went through throughout the season. Those come back into play when it comes, you know, into postseason when the stress gets a little higher and the stakes get a little higher, you know. And at the same time, you know, when you're the number one team in the country, consensus number one as they were last year and everything, you got a lot to lose. And sometimes, you know, it's hard to play like that when, you know, you have a lot to lose versus, you know, this team's kind of been built up and tore down, been back up and tore back down. You know, we're just out there playing for each other and trying to win. I feel like this team doesn't have much pressure. And, you know, that's a good thing to have in the postseason.
Knowing you love the opportunity to play at home in front of the fans, how exciting is it to go back on the road, play in front of what's going to be a wild environment, and hopefully pull off a win like what happened against Clemson?
Yeah, of course, you know, we would have loved to be at home, but, you know, we were anticipating, you know, going on the road. You know, if they told us to go to the moon and play, we'd go to the moon. So we don't really care about, you know, where we're going to be. We're just trying to go out there and win baseball games. And we're playing Southern Miss, who's a very good baseball team. And, you know, they play well at home and they have a huge fan base. So, you know, we understand the challenge and we're ready for it.
Going off of that, Southern Miss is kind of a team that has the storyline with their coach retiring, you know, going out at Super Regional. It's going to be his last game coaching at that park. Just how do you kind of, I guess, go against that and kind of put that to the wayside, because you know they're going to be coming in with a lot of determination. They've already said they're playing this season for their coach.
Yeah, definitely respect like what they're doing with that. For us is just don't pay attention to the alternative storylines. I know, you know, I have Twitter too, and I see everybody out there on, you know, who's getting to play where kind of thing. And, you know, for us, it's just another baseball game. It's a 3-game series and we need to win 2. So, you know, we're playing with a lot, you know, of stuff for us, for each other, and, you know, they're playing for a lot, and it's just another baseball game to us. Try not to build it up and, you know, make it bigger than it is.
Comments from Tennessee outfielder, designated hitter Griffin Merritt, as a 2-time graduate, has his undergraduate from Cincinnati, earned a master's in his time at Tennessee. 1 season with the Volunteers, a master's graduate from the University of Tennessee, but always appreciate Vince's insight.
What did you think of his answer on the pressure? Well, first of all, the answer about compared to last year when he wasn't here, but then he handled it great. And then he talked about the pressure that maybe last year's team had, and you don't want that kind of pressure. What did you think of that answer?
Well, I mean, I think it's right in line with what we've heard Tony Vitello talk about this year. So, again, this is somebody who's just been bare bones, whether times were good or there were struggles. And, again, I just appreciate somebody not only who is locked in with the mood of the team, but also a great perspective and just being a veteran of the game as he is.
Yeah, and we encourage people to text us how you think the Super Regional in Hattiesburg is going to go for Tennessee baseball. Give us some number of games you think on the result, and then give us one name for MVP. Give us one name you think is going to be the standout in that Hattiesburg Super Regional. Just hit us up on the text line at 865-656-9900, and we'll share your answers as the morning goes on. You can also hit us up on Twitter at SportsAnimal991.
So we'll get a break. It's 6:30. I'll get it right. It's 6:30 in Knoxville. And, again, temperatures right now in the low 50s, so just a tad cooler. But you can appreciate a day today that's supposed to get to about 80, 81, and it should be a really nice day. So Sports Talk continues. That's Vince Ferrar. I'm John Wilkerson. This is 99.1, the Sports Animal. Inside of 25-7, this is Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara. And, Vince, we heard from one of the Tennessee Volunteers, so why don't we go ahead and hear from the head coach of the Big Orange?
That's right. He was locked in, and as he typically is, and focused, and always does a good job talking to the media. So let's hear Tony Vitello, part of his meeting with the media yesterday and fielding questions about the Tennessee baseball team headed to the Hattiesburg Super Regional.
How much did you sense kind of a little bit of an unfinished business from, I guess, the older guys, the guys that were on the team last year after the Clemson Regional ended?
Yeah, a little bit of let's do this type of phrase, anything that would fall under that umbrella, and maybe a little extra sense of determination. But again, I think this team has kind of formulated their own personality, which has started to come out a little bit more. Zane Denton's a good you know, good example of that in parallel to what the whole team has done. And then just that kind of same theme of let's keep getting stronger in any area that we can. And that starts as an individual. Again, let your personality come out, maybe get better in an area earlier in the year that you struggled with, and then as a team, you know, keep pushing forward to try and find our best baseball.
You mentioned Zane Denton and his personality kind of coming out as the years went on. What about some of those other transfers, maybe Maui and Andrew Lindsay and you know, Griff?
Yeah, I mean, Lindsay, as we knew this right away, he's going to be true to who he is forever for himself. And it's one of the things that makes him a strong personality, just when you're conversating with him or in the dugout and, of course, on the mound as well. And it's an attribute we thought that would be great either at the end of games or potentially starting games to see how things would unfold. And sometimes things are kind of out of your hands. Maybe it could be a higher power, it could be whatever, but the way the season started to evolve, he ended up in the spot that he did, and he's individually capitalized on it, but the team has benefited from, you know, him just doing well in the particular role he's in. And then you can look on down the line. I think any of Frank's guys that have run out there have started to really get comfortable at what they're doing. And then, you know, Maui, it's just about being on the field. He's kind of had some nicks and knacks and things like that. And Griffin has been a leader from day one. He's just kind of got that mojo and that level of maturity about him. You guys probably enjoy interviewing him because of that level of maturity. That's been there even before his time here. So, and then Zane, just he had a quite an interesting path to get here. And then when he got here, just so much adversity and different things that didn't allow him to get into rhythm on this campus. And right now I think he's in as good of a rhythm as possible. I mean, dating Taylor Swift, apparently. At least that's something about that on the GroupMe. Sometimes when they get going on the GroupMe and it's not that important, I don't pay full attention, but something to that effect.
Southern Miss has the home field advantage, but what competitive advantage do you feel like your program has to take it in Hattiesburg?
You know, you get to this time of year, and we've seen it, whether it be in Lindsey Nelson Stadium or this last weekend. Fortunately, I've coached long enough, Frank has too. You get to this time of year, no one is not going to be pouring their heart and soul out onto the field. You can come up with whatever set of circumstances you want for coaches, players, fan bases. Everyone's going to give it their best go. And it is a baseball game, so there's a lot of crazy things that can happen. So really, whatever competitive edge you're looking for, it's got to be based off what your team has become throughout the year. And there were some teams last year that served as good examples for us now of, hey, maybe the quickest path or best path from A to B isn't a straight line. And for us, there's no way it's been a straight line. So I think whether we're playing in Hoover, Clemson at home, you know, we finished the year in South Carolina. It's kind of our zigzag path, ups and downs, roller coaster, whatever it's been throughout this year. It's who we are, so stay true to who we are. And who we are is a group of guys that are pretty capable when we're playing our best or close to it. But throwing out the word best is ironic because I don't think we've necessarily found that yet, especially over the course of a complete weekend.
What makes Tanner Hall so effective?
You know, he takes advantage of hitters that are overzealous, really preys on hitters that are overzealous. And again, we go back to the point of everyone wants to give it their best. Well, it's important to define what that is because try hard isn't necessarily your best. And he doesn't have a lot of try hard in him. But again, if you got a hitter in the box that's a little overzealous, he takes advantage of him. And then he's, you know, looking for you to beat the ball into the ground. And his stuff matches up with that approach, and it's worked well for him to get ground balls, in particular against Samford in the regional outing he had. I know he came back and threw again on Monday, but in that game in particular. It takes two to tango. He can face a hitter that's either really talented or has the perfect approach, but he's good enough to get guys out mano a mano as well. And then as we try and get our pitchers to understand this, especially when they're freshmen, there's other things besides pitching. You got to be well-rounded at getting in a little rhythm on the mound, defending your position, holding on runners, and he's really well-rounded at all those things that you could define as extra. But as a coach, you throw them all in the same hat of being a pitcher.
Comments from Tennessee coach Tony Vitello.
Yeah.
As he highlights right there at the end, his thoughts on their ace, Tanner Hall, who – is 12-3 on the season. The team has lost just and the team is almost identical. I think the team is 12-4 in his 16 starts, with that loss that doesn't show up on his record being the loss to Samford, which I believe was tied at 1 after 9. So it's amazing to watch where his earned run average has been. And again, he's been on a roll of late. But the question is, as you highlighted at the start of the show, Vince, the right-hander for Southern Miss, 128 pitches as he worked the first 9 against Samford, and then another 30 just a handful of days later at the tail end of the Auburn Regional. So I don't think there's any question he's got that bulldog mentality, and he'll be good to go when his name is called by the head coach of the Eagles.
Yeah, good velocity. Sonny Vitale was talking about gets batters to swing and miss when you're overly aggressive. His fastball can get up to about 95 with some good sink to it. A changeup is a really good off-speed pitch for him, mainly a three-pitch mix with a slider as well. But, you know, he's a guy that is, you know, can go in the first 3 rounds of the draft. Southern Miss has actually had top 3 round picks in 4 of the last 5 drafts. So they've sent guys to the majors, and he's got good stuff with that swing and miss arsenal. Did get a text in as we're asking for your feedback. What do you think will be the result of the Hattiesburg Super Regional? Who wins how many games? And then give us one name for MVP of the Super Regional. Walker chimes in on our text line at 865-656-9900, 865-656-9900. Walker says, Walker from Omaha, actually, where I think he's could be our welcoming party for a Tennessee welcoming party in Omaha. He says,
well, we had our picture made with him 2 years ago.
That's right. That is.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. Appreciate Walker chiming in.
He's got the lucky socks.
Yes. I love it. Walker says 2-0. King John, don't unpack the suitcase. Burke, the MVP. And he said, got to get the stick going. Now, he has, John, Burke has been hitting just not necessarily the long ball. I think he hasn't hit a home run in more than a month. I think he has one since the Vanderbilt series. But to his credit, he's found other ways to get on base and contribute, including when Tennessee was down to their last strike in that comeback against Clemson in the ninth.
Yeah, and that was his third hit of that game, his third hit against the lefty that started for Clemson and Grice, who was so, so good. So, I do think that perhaps he's coming around, and who knows? I know that Walker also asked the question whether or not this is a hitter's park. It depends on the – it certainly can be impacted by the atmosphere in terms of the ball can jump out, or sometimes it can play big. But there are differences. It is a deeper park. The fences are further back. So it's 20 more feet down the line when you look at 340 down the left field line, 340 down the right field line. So 20 feet deeper than Lindsey Nelson Stadium. You've got one power alley to left center that is more shallow than Tennessee's at 378 versus 365. And then it's about 10 feet deeper on the right center side, 358 to 365, and it's 10 feet deeper to straightaway center. So I would say that this park won't play as comfortable as Lindsey Nelson or what Tennessee just experienced at Clemson, but I also think that it's right in line with what you would see at most SEC parks.
Yep, and Walker also says, love listening to the show. So appreciate you. You can listen to us from Omaha or anywhere else, Hattiesburg, on the free WNMO mobile app. So appreciate everyone, and send us your what you think will be the results of this weekend's regional, how many games, and then who your MVP pick is.
That's Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. 6:47, 13 until 7. Temperatures in low 50s right now as you make your way outside, and it's going to warm up to just a little bit above 80. So hopefully your Friday morning going exactly as you hope it should, and that is you'll be able to be where you need to be when you need to be. But a final segment of this first hour of Sports Talk is next. Sam Foreman has more sports with his report right around the corner. It's here on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Poor Larry, a crown.
Oh, man.
It's time to eat.
That will do it.
I'm missed it. It was 13-10, not 13-11.
You sure did miss
Holy
it.
Smoke.
But Mr. Albies did not miss that one.
That was how it sounded as Ozzie Albies hit a walk-off three-run homer as the Braves defeated the New York Mets 13-10 in 10 innings to complete a three-game sweep of their NL East rivals. Elsewhere throughout the NL East, it was the Phillies' Zach Wheeler taking a no-hitter into the eighth inning as Philadelphia defeated the Tigers 3-2. Cleveland's Jose Ramirez hit a home run in his first three at-bats yesterday as the Guardians topped the Red Sox 10-3. It was the Angels defeating the Chicago Cubs 3-1, while the White Sox took game one of their doubleheader yesterday with the Yankees 6-5, but it was New York getting a shutout win in game two 3-0. Clayton Kershaw struck out 9 as the Dodgers shut out the Reds 6-0. And again, in Tennessee Athletics news, it was the Lady Vols softball coaching staff being named the Region Coaching Staff of the Year for the sixth time in program history. I'm Sam Foreman. Have a great day.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
I'm excited for him. I think he would have been a first-round pick, probably without the injury, because that first year, you're probably not, you know, really getting much out of him as he looks to recover. I mean, it's not a six-month recovery anymore. It's closer to a 12-month recovery. Right. But it's not like the Lions need him right now either. You got Jared Goff. He's been really good there, especially with Ben Johnson, their offensive coordinator. So it gives Hendon Hooker the time to sit back, learn from a veteran and a pro, a guy who's been to a Super Bowl before. And also, you got to take into account the system they run in Tennessee is very different than what you're going to get with the Detroit Lions. And so it's going to be a big transition for him, I think, in regards to what he's asked to do pre-snap, post-snap at the quarterback spot.
5 till 7 as you listen to Sports Talk on this Friday morning. And we come back with apparently the future Mrs. Zane Denton, according to the head coach. And comments from former Notre Dame and NFL quarterback Brady Quinn talking about Hendon Hooker.
Yeah, that's so rich. We can get into so much of that. Love Tony Vitello mentioned that on the group me chat. So well done by Sam Foreman. That's what people say because Brady Quinn in one soundbite combined multiple narratives about Hendon Hooker. And I like Brady Quinn as an analyst, but he talked about, well, this could be, you know, a 12-month recovery. Well, Hendon Hooker was out there throwing passes at Lions camp after practice yesterday and looking good. Now, he didn't do a full-on, full-speed drop back, but he did drop back a little bit, throwing the ball around. Really nice sign for Hendon Hooker, he has told us. Not putting an exact timeline, but he has told everyone that will listen that his rehab is going really well. And he is involved and engaged, and he looks good. He is going to be ready sooner than what people think. And that transition with the offense, he's so brilliant. He's not going to be phased by that. You don't want to rush him onto the field, but that's for any rookie. But I thought that was interesting that all of those narratives came into one, and Hooker is going to check, put a line through all of those quickly as he starts his career in Detroit.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. He's going to do everything possible that he is cleared to do. He's going to do it 100%, and as because he has been relentless in working to get as healthy as he can as quickly as he can. That's Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. Now 3 before 7. We've got hour number 2 coming up. More from the head coach of the Volunteers, Tony Vitello. We'll also hear from our friend Rob Lewis at BallQuest.com. So stay with us. This is Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.